Hi guys, Matt here from Diablo Social. In this episode of the Diablo Social podcast, Edward talks to Mark Buarchi. Mark is the founder of MNB Fitness and is on the board of Youth of Africa. Mark runs through his background and approach to building and expanding his business, facilitating physical fitness training programs in schools and businesses. As they get deeper into the conversation, also listen out for Mark's approach to producing content for social media. Without further ado, let's get into it.
All right, hi, I'm here with Mark Buarchi, founder and managing director of MNB Fitness and Wellbeing. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good. Maybe let's start by you giving us a bit of a rundown of your business.
Yeah, no worries. So MNB Fitness and Wellbeing started as a tool to help staff with their health and wellbeing at work. What we did was provide a service of physical activity, which can involve loads of different things, to build kind of like staff rapport, communication, better communication links between staff, and in general, just a tool to release stress at work. So we'll go into schools in the beginning and provide this service either after school or before school for an hour or maybe two, depending on the requirements of the staff and the school. And we'll do loads of stuff that would have people of all abilities could actually benefit from. So it was anything where people were like, oh gosh, I can't, there's no way I can do that, or this is too hard. We did everything kind of based on that. And it was really good. It has been really good, shall I say. It's been, and that's how we kind of started. Do you want me to go in further?
Yeah, so you said you worked primarily with schools in the beginning. Like, how did you get started in that?
The schools kind of started because I worked in a school as a PE teacher, and colleague who was a friend of mine was like, asked me, was like, oh, could you help me with something? And I was like, oh yeah, of course. And he's like, oh look, I need to get fitter, I need to do some exercise, and I need to kind of rediscover a bit of a work-life balance, because how many hours you're at work, and by the time you leave work, you just end up going home, marking papers, doing stuff. So she weren't really getting anything, and there seemed to be a few teachers in that kind of mindset of thinking. So what I said was, yep, that sounds good. Why don't we do X, Y, Z? And at the time, we just used loads of, did loads of different activities that would address the things they wanted to do and gain from doing any kind of exercise or activity. From then, it grew within the school I worked with, and then loads of teachers attended. Then it ended up kind of being a staff kind of requirement for like 2 days a week, for example.
Staff requirement?
Yeah. So what happened was, like, teachers who started attending were like, oh yeah, this is okay, this is quite fun. And then it got to a point where there was just a demand where it was like, this is what we want every Monday and Thursday, and we're willing to now attend to this and pay for it. So all of a sudden it was like, okay, this is really interesting that people feel this way, and they feel this is a great way to kind of deal with some of their stresses at work, you know, and at the same time communicate. Because what happened was in the teaching field, not many people communicate with one each other, like in person. Mainly people are just like on the computers, button bashing, and just that's the way you communicate. But because of these activities on, say, a Monday and a Thursday, or Tuesday and a Thursday, people are able to speak to people and kind of build a closer friendship with each other.
You're essentially enabling team building.
Yeah, it was a lot of team building,
as well as like fitness and well-being
team building. Yeah, and the main focus was is more on the aspect of interaction and fun more than the fitness. The fitness comes second, a close second, but the main thing is that people enjoying themselves and talking with each other, because it's a dying out art form, really, of like communication, like directly with each other. Most people are either on their phones or on the computer. So the fact that someone can talk to someone in person, it changes the whole kind of direction of the conversation and how you interact with everyone.
Okay, how long have you been doing this? How long has M&B Fitness and Wellbeing been going for now?
So we've been going for about just over a year. What we did try to do, or what we had did at first, when we established at the school I worked with or worked in, we basically just sent loads of emails to headmasters and mistresses across the borough we worked in at first, or I worked in at first, and then we gained responses from that, and then all of a sudden it was a number of schools wanted to jump on board. Then we had a couple of other schools who were outside our borough wanted to jump on board, and then we had to then start thinking about how do we staff that on, who do we attract to try deal with the demand and such.
What can it just be you? You had to get more.
Yeah, at the beginning it was just me, and I was just darting around. What I was doing is finishing work early as I could on time, getting everything done, and leaving to then attend another school or another area to deliver some type of like program, which I'd written up and which adhered to the demands of the staff. And I was basically up down is like Monday to Friday, which can be quite a lot, especially after you've worked a full day already. But and then after a while it was just getting more and more impossible for me to do so much and be around. So we thought, oh, you know what, we need to kind of attract some staff. And so we sent out some did some advertisements on social media and stuff, and then we thought, okay, we got some feedback from a few people work for the company as such, and we luckily I had a few friends and people who I knew were good in that kind of field, so we were like, oh, why don't you jump on board? They did, luckily. And what we did, we got the people who we felt wasn't as strong kind of coaches to then be mentored by the people I knew who could do the roles quite well and comfortably.
Okay, like you said, we, then do you have like a business partner that you started?
Yeah, I always say we. It's a weird thing. It's quite
Is
hard.
It the royal we?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but it's kind of a hard thing to just be like, oh, it's me. I see me as a person and the company as another person, so it ends up we're working hand in hand, so it's kind of we.
Okay, you've got a dual identity there.
Yeah, like pretty much, yeah.
Mark Watchy on one side and M&B Fitness and Wellbeing on the other.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
okay,
yeah.
Interesting. You're a PE teacher, you started M&B Fitness and Wellbeing. What is your motivation for getting into like sports and fitness in the beginning? Like, how did you get into that area?
Oh, like, luckily it's always been kind of ingrained to kind of just be active. And that's kind of what I've tried to bring across with NMB. It's a thing of if you're active and you're doing something, that's the most important. And fair enough, there's a lot of people who, you know, there's loads of body conscious people on, but it matters if it's in the right direction. So as long as everything is good and you feel good, that's the most important thing. So that's been something what's been installed from young. So when I was younger, I played a number of different sports. I've played football for a very long time. I still play football. Used to do like the running events, like cross country run, and do shorter events as well, like 800 meters. Used to play some kind of cricket at school, but it wasn't that great. Used to play rugby at school. So I just played loads of different sports. Anything that I could get my hands on, or my mum would be like, oh, you do this. Like, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? So it was a thing of like, okay, now sport is more of a lifestyle than a kind of hobby.
Okay, and you were encouraged to do so at a young age.
Definitely. Like my mum, big encouragement. Like my cousin played football. He played at a high level till I think like 22 or something at Arsenal.
Great team.
My brother played football. My mum played netball for Ghana, representing Ghana.
Great country,
of course. So did her brothers and cousins represent Ghana Black Star football team. They represented a lot. So I think in terms of playing sport, it's something that you just did and it was a lifestyle. It wasn't a thing.
Were you interested in pursuing it as a profession as well?
I did try my first stint. I tried to play as high up as I could. Had a few trials at places, played for a couple of clubs. And like kind of professional established clubs, and it was fun, it was good. Got a few injuries on the way.
Injuries, did they hamper your progression? Like,
injuries
or?
Yeah, though, they don't really, they do hamper it, but I had like a leg injury, like a break, which was quite hard.
Casually, you broke your leg.
Yeah, I wouldn't say casually, but yeah, it was interesting. It was definitely hard to deal with at the beginning, but it was it ended up being okay in the end. In terms of gaining your leg strength and doing your rehab and stuff, it was good. But it does hinder you in terms of, yeah, you might be a yard off the pace, or you're continuously thinking, oh, am I as good as I was before? So but the main thing was, to be honest, after that leg break, is that can I play football? It wasn't about what level I could play, but it was just the fact, can I play and can I still get the most enjoyment from it?
Just so I suppose it's just a general love of sports and football in particular. That,
yeah, like football in particular is really good. I love anything that comes on TV, which I see people like benefiting from and doing the best from, is, for me, it's such a joy, because you're like, oh wow, it could be gymnastics. I'm like, wow, how did you do that? And I can imagine the amount of discipline and the amount of training that must be done to get to that level. So you always kind of have to respect any sport, even the dull ones, like, which you might find dull, you think, oh, they're boring, but someone has to train to get to that point where you can view it. So it's always a great love and respect.
How is M&B Fitness and Wellbeing like going at the moment? How's your business?
Yeah, it's going really well. Like we're just in a bit of a transition stage, like an early transition, because it's a fairly new company and stuff. We've been trying to pick up on our mistakes and identify them and then seeing where we can improve or what things we can avoid next time. So it's, we've transitioned more from being largely based in the public sector, and we're trying to now move over a bit into the private sector to establish a kind of overall kind of platform between public and private, just merging the two.
I suppose private sector, you mean going into like businesses? So banks or companies or?
Yeah, no, yeah, it is. It's going into businesses and say, providing a service for a number of weeks, months, and this service is for the health and well-being of the staff, because especially in the private sector, the demands of the job are so high that people need to have some form of release and some type of help to keep themselves on the road, whichever they're walking on. So I think it's so important to find that time and find that space. And we're doing it at a point where it's at work. So our whole thing is that if it is at work and you can spend an hour doing it, so before, after work or during work, it's a thing that when you get home, you've got more time for yourself, or when you leave the job, you've got more time for yourself, because you've done everything what you need to do whilst you've been inside the workplace. So you could just be like, okay, I've now got from 6 till whenever to do and what I want and get my kind of like life balance in terms of what you can do and your satisfaction and stuff.
How are you measuring the impact of your work on? Are you getting testimonies from people? Or?
Yeah, no, we have been getting those testimonies from people, and some things are harder to register in terms of we have done work in schools where teachers we've said, okay, these are the things, like a questionnaire after like a term of the activity, these are the things which do you think you have improved on, or where do you think you've come? And it's not about, oh, have I improved like my press up range or anything like that. It's a thing of like, okay, how is your work output? Have you felt your work output's increased? Do you feel you've got more energy, more enthusiasm? How do you feel about your colleagues? And they're the things, but those kind of things are hard to calculate because it's based on emotion. And sometimes if you give them that questionnaire and they fill it at the wrong time, so I might have just angered them, therefore you're going to get a whole different set of answers. So it's very hard to where we kind of get our data to register how what the effects are on the actual staff.
It's real interesting that I suppose few successes marked on the impact on their actual job rather than and progress within the class. That's quite interesting.
It definitely is, because that's not saying it's the main factor, but for us it is. It's we're about first improving the well-being of people. There's so much stuff going on with people who are not being able to find the platform to express themselves when they're going through hardship, and most times because we're at work at 7-8 hours or more, they're the perfect in that space. Maybe that could be the time where people are suffering the most. So if they've got something they can use and have, and it's accessible to be like, okay, this is, if I do this and use this, this is gonna make me feel a lot happier, I think that's where we kind of go on. And then in terms of the fitness side of it, yes, we're still very, that's very important to us, because we always want to see people improve and people be able to do activities and stuff which they have previously ruled out at the beginning, saying, no, I'll never do that, I can't do that, that's too hard, and all of a sudden they're doing it. So that's for them, both for us, it's a for them and the trainer, that's a visual kind of improvement when you see someone do something they can't. But yeah, going back to the beginning point, the main focus is on trying to provide a tool to release stress, and stress can affect the people in work and our friends and family outside of work. So it's best if we can provide something that helps that and decreases that stress, then that's what we're about.
It's also interesting that I suppose fitness is being used as a tool to, well, alleviate stress, as you say, but improve like mental health.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Like, we've had a number. We work with a number of people who have suffered from mental health, either on all different type of scales, who have said the fact that we're here and we provide this service, it's such an important tool for them, and it's a great deal. It helps them, it gets them through their week, which is great. Like, the people that we have working for us and stuff have really done really well in terms of that area, and have as well had more of a kind of hands-on approach in terms of talking to people after the sessions and before, so people feel they can offload a little bit more before the session or afterwards, and that has contributed to their mental health or mental stability.
You've mentioned that you're moving into like private sector,
yeah,
companies as well as public sector. How do you, besides that, how do you see MNB fitness and wellbeing growing? Is that the course that you're taking, or is there other areas that you want to move into?
At the moment, it seems that's the areas we'd like to move into. Maybe improve both private and public sector. But yeah, we would like to establish ourselves a lot more where we're not exactly at that point of being a household name or anything. That's crazy. But a fact where it's people are aware of the service that is provided and know that it's accessible to them. So if we can keep kind of banging the drum and knocking down the walls of that private sector, that industry, it'll be great in terms of for us to have a platform where our kind of message can be heard.
Okay, I noticed that you're using Instagram a lot to promote your business. How is that going?
Yeah, it's been going okay. Instagram's good. It's a great tool for stuff, but some of the stuff what we could put up there, or we don't tend to, because sometimes we're like within it all, we're so, everyone's so busy and in actually delivering a service, it's sometimes hard to remember to actually put stuff up. And it's such a, I don't know how many, like, especially in the fitness industry, I don't know if you know that stuff, but like, it's such a high demand and for putting out loads of feeds or loads of posts, shall I say. And it's quite demanding. It's like a full-time job. And sometimes you feel like, oh, I should put up a lot. But sometimes I feel when you do put up a lot, maybe that message doesn't come across as strongly because it's just flooding with loads and loads of stuff. So we've kind of drawn back on a bit because we're trying to think of how do we get the message out there without it being too much in your face. Or something.
You're trying to work out a social media strategy, essentially.
Yeah. Or social media balance, shall I say.
Okay. Balance in terms of the output you're putting.
Yeah, in terms of the output and how much we put out, and from that output, how much do we get back? Because it's very hard to kind of I'd say it's very hard and time consuming to put out the right content and find the images that you've taken, or even have the time to do the images to take them in the first place. So we're just trying to balance out and trying to put some of the stuff that we do out there, and that's what we've tried to do.
Have you noticed a particular type of social media post that gains more attention?
Good question. There's loads of stuff on social media, and it's hard, it's very easy to fall into the trap of wanting to go on there and talk a lot or give advice on all types of things. It's very easy to do that, but a lot of the social media in terms of the fitness industry is if you, most of it, some of it's like if you've got your kind of like top off, or you've got some flesh kind of show, and that kind of sells. Like it sounds bad, but so I'm kind of reluctant to go down that road. I don't see why that should be the main point of your information. What if you've got your top off or you've got your legs showing? I don't think that should be important. That's what I think.
Interesting. As a man on social media, sex sells. Essentially, so but you don't want to go down that route.
No, I don't want to go down that route because I just feel like, when does that road stop? Where do you go with that? What's next? What do I do next? You know, after I've taken off my top, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna walk around in my pant and talk? There's a point where you're like, come on, there needs to be a bit of respect. And what is it? What is my aim? And why am I on here for? Am I here to give information, or am I here to tell people, look at me, I'm great, and what are you doing? So I'm just at a point where it's a thing where it's an inclusive activity what we're trying to provide, and me showing myself in a certain way or portraying myself in a certain way with a top off or whatever, doing some press ups or whatever, might come across like, oh, okay, that's nice, but what about me? For the people who really are trying to use it for their mental health or whatever, I'm not sure how that helps them.
You're looking at social media in a way that will help you sort of promote your values and the message of M&B Fitness as well.
Yeah,
but I suppose you also want to not just like mass produce or mass populate like posts. You want to produce quality as well.
We want to produce quality, and it needs to be relevant, to what we're doing. I think not all what you need to say can be said on social media, and sometimes you need to keep a bit to yourself as well, because if I put everything up on social media, if I go to then speak about something, what else have I got to say? Everyone already knows what I'm going to say because they've read through my post. So if I've got if I hold back a bit, maybe I have more to say and more of a kind of broader mindset on what I'm doing and what it's about. That's my kind of theory towards it. I'm not sure if me just saying everything what comes on my mind towards health and fitness can be beneficial to everyone. If someone was sitting down like how we're sitting down having a conversation and wanted to ask me about stuff, I don't know, through my social media post, if I posted a lot, they probably have all the answers already.
Okay, so you don't want to give you all your answers away. You want to use it as a way to draw people in to hear more.
Yeah, I think so. I think that might be a bit better. I think it's better if we have that a little bit more, I think. Especially down the road we're going with in terms of the well-being, and then the kind of fitness and health is a close second. We kind of need to be careful in what we portray as being healthy.
Okay. In what way? Can you elaborate?
I just think, like, if I'm posting every day with me doing press ups, sit ups, whatever it is, star jumps, I'm just doing an example. I don't know if that's healthy for me.
I see.
So if I'm saying, yeah, everyone should have it as a tool to release their stress and stuff. What am I doing if I'm doing it every day? What's going to relieve that stress? So just on that kind of point of I just think, yeah, it's maybe best to just hold a bit back, and then we can have a better conversation with people when we meet them or what we're doing.
Have you had many like successes with social media? Is Instagram the main platform?
No, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, which we don't really use that much, but and we're on LinkedIn. Instagram and LinkedIn seem to be the most beneficial, but they're on two different scales, as you know. Like Instagram is more quite just your putting out information to gain likes. There's not really a communication base for that. You might have people say, oh yeah, like that's a great post, or oh, like blah blah blah, really like what you post up, which is nice, and that's great feedback. Or you get people on there just saying, oh great what you do, why like sign up to my Insta company that get you 2,000 more followers. So, and then on LinkedIn we put up posts which are more professional in terms of the people we interact with. So on there we're interacting with people who are part of companies or in positions which are similar to what we're doing, who have said, oh like, oh wow, this is interesting what you're doing, how about this, have you thought about this, or would you like to do something here with us. And so that's been good because it picks up a bit of work and stuff.
So you've gained business through LinkedIn?
Yeah, we've gained some work through LinkedIn, just little bits, but it's been good. Yeah, it's been nice. Could do more on LinkedIn as well. But yeah, it's good because obviously, you know, on there you can search people by their job role, name, blah blah blah. So the people we're trying to interact with, we feel have a similar mindset or similar direction to ourselves. So we kind of go on that basis.
And you mentioned earlier that you tailor your posts to, like, once, like, posts for Instagram won't necessarily work on LinkedIn and vice versa.
Yeah, sometimes. It matters what it is, but yeah, sometimes it won't work because you're kind of on LinkedIn. It's got to be a little bit more professional because you can't just be putting on LinkedIn, look at me doing 5-star jumps, how are you doing? Like, it doesn't, like, for me, it doesn't work. It's kind of on LinkedIn, it's kind of like, here's the information, this is what we're doing, these are more like kind of visual displays of progress or whatever. And then yeah, it goes from that stage where, like, I think Instagram, you can post messages, you can be a bit more fun with it, you can muck around with it. So yeah, so we tend to do it that way.
Are you using any like social media management tools to handle it?
No, I haven't used any social media management tools.
But and that works for you, I guess.
Yeah, no, it seems to work for me at the moment. Obviously, with time, there's change, so there's always a way to improve something or improve a method. And yeah, and when we see that method and we feel like that's suitable for us and it can work, then we'll go along with that. But at the moment, it's been a lot of our stuff has been, yeah, there's been a bit from LinkedIn, but a lot has been from word of mouth, just through people who have used the service and been like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah, we'd like to kind of have that because we heard XYZ was doing, you're doing it there. So, and they really liked it. So
would you say like word of mouth or referrals have been the biggest driver?
Oh yeah, big time. Until we get to a point where we're in a position, especially in the private sector, where we have a bit more of a speak, more of a kind of mutual language, and we can be a bit, not demanding, but just say what we're about and hit, this is how we do it, are you on board or you're not. The referrals have been the best kind of thing to that.
It kind of touched on your future plans like before, but do you have anything more to add on that?
What NMB have done, basically, we we're now part of a organization which is has been created in America, which is called the Youth of Africa Organization. I'm member of the board of the organization, which someone asked for me to be part of. And basically we're starting off in Ghana and Kenya, doing kind of near enough like apprenticeship schemes between those who are working in the cities of those two countries, and they will apprentice will be between them and some of the children from the local areas or local towns, some that are less privileged to gain these apprenticeships normally or whatever. So what we're trying to do, or partner organization, is trying to skill the youth of Africa to acquire these skills that they can use long term, because even though most of in people in Africa, like as much as how it is or portrayed, there are people really building big platforms and going places in tech or whatever that are really building like Africa up as a continent. But amongst that, there are people who haven't got that opportunity or wealth within there. So this is a platform for them to acquire skills that may help them in the future of where work might be going, in terms of what skills that are needed for them to survive in the next 20, 30 years.
It sounds like you've got some grand plan. So I suppose going from public sector to private sector to maybe international development.
Yeah, so what we're gonna do with that, whilst I'm doing work with that, and we're gonna then establish in those countries, try to establish NMB in those cities. So in Accra and in Kenya, and I don't know if we're gonna be in Mombasa, but just waiting for that to be confirmed. But I think it is Mombasa. There'll be the first, actually no, it's Nairobi. So they will be the first two areas. So we will have NMB hopefully doing more of the private sector there in both of those countries, whilst still working for the Youth of Africa organization and developing that kind of apprenticeship scheme. So it's really good. It's really exciting because it's something that I've kind of wanted to kind of do in terms of not give back, but be, yeah, you could say give back, but like kind of be part of something that is part of where I'm from and where my family are from. So it'll be really good to kind of do something, as we've got something here which is part of my makeup and Ghana. It'll be great, and just Africa in general, like it's such a nice place. So it'll be good to kind of be like, okay, we've got something there, and something where you could be like, okay, something to be proud of and something to establish.
It's having a British and Ghanaian presence in particular.
Definitely. I think that's really important to me. It's probably got more important to me over the last year or two. So,
okay, what's driven that, would you say?
I don't know. I think probably a little few things, like my mum and stuff, who's always given wise words and some importance to doing something back there. And my wife also, she's been really important with it. So yeah, both of those two, that's been really good. And so that, I think that's enhanced my kind of belief and drive to be like, okay, yeah, I can maybe do something there. I can maybe try. Okay. Why not?
Oh, cool. So that's, they boosted your family, has really affected how you approach this.
Yeah, I think so. I think in general, with the NMB in general and the start of that, I think both of them have really helped me with that. I think it was just I've always wanted to do something and do something by myself or try something out, but you always kind of got that fear factor where you're like, oh, what if it doesn't work or blah blah blah, no, it's not foolproof enough. And I'm quite a person who needs to be like, this needs to work for this outcome. So moment I kind of release myself of that and be like, do you know what, I'm gonna do it, and if it mucks up, so what. Like, it kind of took away a lot of stress, like a lot of personal pressure, where you're just thinking, I need to do something that's going to make me this amount, or going to do this, or blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to enjoy it first and foremost, and let's see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, so be it. And that's been really good.
So, your family, your wife, your mother, and your family as a whole has helped to release that, I suppose, the burden, the weight off your shoulders that comes with like starting a business or starting something on your own.
Yeah, definitely. If that burden's kind of dropped from you, you're kind of okay to do stuff. Like, along with like, and when I do say my family, like my mum, my wife, but and then I've got a large group of friends who consider family also. So yeah, they help, because when they do things or make mistakes, I learn from them and vice versa. So it's really important that you kind of bounce off each other a bit more and talk, because you can learn and be like, okay, how did that work? How did this work? And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm gonna just try it. Like, I might lose out on a bit of money, but I've spent money on rubbish before, so why not spend it on something that could be important and beneficial? So that's been good. And as well, you know, like with anything, if you've got a with most things, if you sorted out your base layer in terms of being able to have food on the table, be like kind of like shelter, water, if those things are already catered for on your base level, there's nothing else really to worry about. So you can just be like, okay, and then that's when you can kind of like dream.
That's an interesting word. Is that, have you brought that attitude, that mentality back into your business and to the work you do with people?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you can dream, that's one of the main kind of barriers that's stopping you, if you can't dream. So like, as I said, if you've got your fundamentals in, and nothing else matters, you can think, okay, I want to do this. How am I going to go do about it? How am I going to go get it? Because everything, shelter, water, food's catered for. There's nothing else to, what else do you need except for, okay, I want to do this. How can I benefit myself? How can I push myself further on from that point? So yeah, I think it's so important to dream with it. Like the whole NMB kind of movement as such is just one big dream, and working out how do I get close to that dream. And you know, you might get to a point where, oh gosh, I haven't like got as far as I wanted to get with that particular dream. But with dreams, new dreams come. So if NMB, for example, wasn't to go as far as I wanted to, it could be something else, which I've learned from doing NMB, to be like, okay, what about if I do this and go in this direction? Then we're now just building like layers or building blocks to where that dream kind of is, instead of just being like, okay, I haven't achieved it, that's it, I maybe just leave it alone. It's all about just picking yourself up and then dreaming again, and then seeing where, because if you don't have anything to dream about, there's what's the point? There's no point. Everyone wants something from their jobs, either it's like social freedom or like social mobility or whatever it is. Someone wants something, and I don't think there's many jobs that you're employed for can give you that. So you need to find something that gives you something back, and that doesn't mean it has to be money. It could be one of the most important things, just happiness. And then that's all that kind of matters after. Financial rewards kind of like second, but like your happiness should be the most important thing that you should look after or crave for. And that's how I live by it. I don't see it any other way.
And those are the values you try to bring in with MNB Fitness and Wellbeing.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it should be about happiness. They're the values. If you're happy within yourself, you can do stuff, you can achieve stuff. If you're unhappy within yourself, that unhappiness rubs off on others, and you might be looked at differently or come across differently to what you actually are. So I think if you're happy, others are happy around you, because you can rub off, help people, answer questions, help guide them, make them make like new mistakes. And like, I feel like if you kind of, if you're making the same kind of mistakes or same type of action, I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and again, wanting a different outcome, doing the same things over and over again. I don't want that. So if there's something I can say to someone, or advice to someone, give advice to someone who makes them not perform that act of doing the same thing over and over again to get a different outcome, then I think that's beneficial.
Thank you for listening to the Diablo Social podcast. If you want to find out more about what we do, check out diablosocial.com or follow us on Instagram @DiabloSocial. Until the next time, see ya.